Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dr. Glenn Tonser, talking about some of his latest beef demand numbers in just a moment.
First tattoo, huh?
Yep, I wanted to read Tough on Aphids, Easy on Ladybugs.
What's the story behind that?
Well, on my farm, I use this powerful stuff from BASF called Safina Inscalis Insecticide.
Sorry, it's gonna sting. So, Safina Insecticide?
It's strong on aphids and quickly limits plant damage, but gentle on ladybugs.
Gentle on ladybugs?
What can I say? I'm a ladybugs man. Be strong and gentle with Safina Insecticide. Ooh, always read and follow label directions.
Well, cattle producers, Superior Livestock's on the road the next couple of weeks. On Thursday, June 17th, they'll be offering 51,175 head of cattle, calves, yearlings, breeding stock, and more at the Corn Belt Classic happening in South Sioux City, Nebraska. Then the following Thursday, June 24th, it'll be the Tallgrass Classic in Emporia, Kansas. For details, you can call Superior Livestock 800-422-2117 or check out SuperiorLivestock.com. Extension livestock market economist Dr. Glenn Tonser probably tracks beef demand better than just about anybody. He's got his latest May meat demand numbers out. He says meat demand in May up across the board.
May meat demand, so that's not just beef, that's multiple proteins, was up strongly compared to April. And that statement held whether we're talking retail grocery store or if we're talking food service. Again, that's underpinning the cutout prices that he's going to talk about and so forth. One of the things that is definitely different than a year ago, so now I'm going to compare May of 2021 with May of 2020, which in many ways was the heart of the pandemic, to remind everybody, was the location of meals. So one of the things we do in our meat demand monitor, every person that completes this, and it's an ongoing national survey collected persistently since February of 2020, is did you have breakfast, lunch, dinner yesterday? So it's like a prior day recall question. And then if yes, where at? So at home versus away from home. Well, if you tabulate that up across people, across time, we get measures of meal location. And I think it's important to note the lunch and dinner meals are the ones that tend to be impacted more by where you're working. Historically, most people have breakfast at home, whether you're going to work at home or not. A lot of people eat breakfast before they leave home. The action is on lunch and dinner. Mm-hmm. So in May of 2020, 62% had a lunch meal at home. That's down notably recently. So in May of 2021, that's a 49%. So 13% lower number of meals at home. What's the parallel for dinner? May of 2020, we had 73%. So just under three-fourths of meals were consumed at home for your dinner meal, down to 64% in May of 2021. More and more of our lunch and dinner meals are being consumed away from home. That's consistent with people going back to the office, being comfortable going out, even if they're working at home still, maybe taking their family out to dinner and the like.
Dr. Tonser says one of the questions that's still unanswered, will we really get back to those levels of, say, 2019 of eating out versus eating in?
Are we going to get to exactly where we were in 2019 with that? I don't know. I'm a little bit cautious saying we will, because I think some people, particularly those a little more price sensitive, may have gotten used to preparing their meals at home. And as meal prices continue to go up, they may be price signaled to consider more food at home. So we may not get to the 2019 levels anytime soon. But I don't think we're done with this story. So for the next few months, I think we're going to continue to see more foot traffic, maybe some long legs from the federal stimulus funds and so forth, people just anxious to get out. You and I are sitting here in Kansas. The middle of the country has been a little bit more open for business for a longer period than the coast. These are national numbers. I think the coast in particular, which a large share of our country's population is on the coast, still has some legs for this reopening trade. And maybe we have months ahead of this away from home meal consumption still going up for lunch and dinner.
Dr. Tonser is the lead on this meat demand survey done by K-State on a monthly basis. It models the old food demand survey that was done by Jason Lusk several years back at Oklahoma State University. Currently, he's added some questions asking consumers their expectations regarding meat and inflation.
I have the opportunity to tweak the survey over time. And one of the things I did in March at the request of some others was there's a lot of commentary about inflation, right, and food price inflation specifically. So since March of 2021, we've added four questions asking our survey respondents, what do you expect prices to do next month? Same, higher versus lower for four different meat products. So the four products are ground beef and a sirloin, choice sirloin steak to be specific, and then two pork products, bacon product and a boneless pork chop product. What you will find here, and again, it's in the latest report, you can find a table on this, is consumers have been expecting all four of those products to be more expensive the subsequent month, and the magnitude of those price increases has been growing. So I'll use the most recent one to drive this home, is in May we asked that question, and on average, A 2.4% increase in steak prices is expected. A 2% increase in ground beef price is expected. 2% in pork chops and 2% in bacon. Of most note is the last 3 months consecutively across all four of these products, consumers are expecting higher increases in prices. That's consistent with a broader, it's not just a meat protein, it's a broader whole food basket story. Concerns about inflation, how long it's going to last and so forth, is certainly developing in the meat complex.
Dr. Glenn Tonser, you've got the beef buzz on Ron.
OGI is at the top of the class for two-gene Clearfield varieties in the Central Plains. If you like to double-stop CL Plus, you'll be even more satisfied with its successor, Strad CL Plus. Strad CL Plus is closely related to double-stop CL Plus, but it starts faster, grows faster, and finishes a few days earlier. Strad CL Plus is an elite performer that sets the highest standard for yield, test weight, tenacity, and baking quality all in one variety. Strad CL Plus carries the Grazin Grain and Golden Grain OSU trademarks. Log on to okgenetics.com to learn more.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.